Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, January 19th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Thursday, everyone. It is a chilly 36 degrees with light drizzle. That's what my phone says here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show AI, Immortality, Eugenics, Globalization, and Robot Overlords. And that about sums it all up. I don't know, yesterday seemed to be a pretty fluid episode that connected a lot of dots. And it really kind of painted a picture of what 2017 is going to look like. I dug into all kinds of stories last night while I was sitting here digging into brain chemistry. I don't know. People think I'm obsessive about this, maybe just a little. But I find it so extremely interesting that sometimes I just can't stop. So I start digging and making connections and figuring out how we can be manipulated and what are the things that they are using to get us to follow without protesting, mind you, most of the time. Majority of the American public just follows right along in step. But how they are cracking these secrets of all of our biologies to be able to manipulate and control. And now they're taking it to this next level, this medical tyranny, to get technology into us is the next step, making it easy to be able to provide you healthcare. And actually, before I really kick off the show here, I wanted to share with you a story I found last night. All these things that I've been talking about with this 21st century cures and smart medicine and being able to bring healthcare costs down. Well, wait, there is a place in San Francisco. Here we go. For $149 a month, the doctor will see you as often as you want. What? Well, check it out. A healthcare startup is using the fancy digs, as well as fitness trackers and a membership fee, to charge doctor visits. Imagine if your doctor's office was more like an app store mashed up with a fancy gym. Modern white and wood aesthetic, replete with fancy gadgets and gleaming touchscreens, for which you pay a monthly fee to visit as often as you wished. Well, that is the environment I stepped into, not me, the guy writing the story. This is out of MIT Technology Review. I stepped in last week upon entering the new medical clinic belonging to the San Francisco health startup called Forward, which opened to the public on Tuesday in the city's financial district. Forward combines a variety of services. You can get help with your high cholesterol. You can get a pap smear and a vaccine for upcoming overseas trips. With data gathered at both the office and via your wearable gadget and your smartphone app at home, the clinic also has a built-in pharmacy, and the first round of any of your drugs from your Forward doctor is prescribed for free. So you can test it before you have to buy it. Blood tests can then be performed and quickly analyzed on site, and that's included too, as there are many wearable gadgets that the doctors want to send home with you, and they do not accept health insurance. Ding. Now, I don't know, can you see how this is looking like such a wonderful option, problem, reaction, solution? So, you know what? Don't worry about all those high copays and all those mega deductibles that no one can afford for the $700 or $800 a month healthcare plan that doesn't give you much of anything. No, for $149 a month, We are going to turn your doctor's office into a 21st century cool place to be. We're going to give you these little readable gadgets. We're going to give you free medications. Try it before you buy it. And we are going to be able to tell on the fly, and it even says this, guys, whether or not you're getting sick. Not surprisingly, this new concept called Forward emphasizes technic solutions, and your Forward doctor may give you a wireless blood pressure cuff to use, or the app will occasionally ping you to remind you to take a reading. You can message Forward's doctors through an app 24/7, access to your doctor, and even connect your activity tracker so the data it gathers is punted to your doctor as well. The company says that its software will monitor you over time, ding, 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 to let you know if anything strange appears to be going on and help your doctor come up with the best way to treat you. Now, you know, here's the thing. When I start reading all this stuff, you know, I had a friend tell me I'm starting to really sound crazy and I should stop obsessing over this shit. And, you know, it would be great to be able to have 24/7 dashboards for ourselves. And if it were just you and your doctor that had access to that information, to be able to tell whether or not something ever was going awry, and then be able to fix you easily without any synthetic, crazy, scary, robotic, mini bloodstream stuff, I think I would be all for it. All for it. You know what? I've had a couple really good doctors in my life that I trusted, that I could have really good conversations with when I had some major health issues. I mean, I told you guys about all that autoimmune crap for all those years. You know, my one doctor in Buffalo, she was great. She worked with me. We investigated so many different things, trying to figure out what was going on. And she wouldn't give up, and neither would I. You know, we really started to have some success there, but that's the way it should be. You should work with your doctor, and your doctor should be your confidant. Your doctor probably knows more about you than some of your closest family members. But it's not like that anymore. It's not like that at all anymore. These doctors are all bought out by the system, and they are just reporting back to the system, and everything is going into the database now. And if they see anything considered quote-unquote suspicious, they are instructed to make a note of it and potentially report you for whatever suspicious thing they think you might have done. But in regards to collecting this data, monitoring 24/7 on a dashboard to see whether or not you are healthy on a daily basis, problem comes in now that as we are databasing this all, and giving access to alphabets everywhere, probably the easiest way to begin with was to weaken those HIPAA laws, those pesky healthcare privacy protection laws. Yeah, well, Obama got those out of the way with regard to gun care. So now they can access information if you're considered to be a danger or a danger to others. You have your data. You know, once you've been diagnosed with something, it goes into the database that can't be erased. And if it is something such as something serious, I don't know, something that can be considered a pre-existing condition later on down the line, you want to be concerned about how that is going to affect you and your ability to get healthcare later on. Now, like you said, this monitoring is twofold. As far as the sword goes, sometimes we could have some goodness come out of it. By having it like a gauge on a car, isn't that how they were trying to sell it? Every article we read, it's like, oh, we want to be able to monitor you like a car, so you can tell whether or not the radiator's getting hot or the brakes are getting squishy. You know, your body could be seen on an easy-to-read red, yellow, green dashboard. And I think that this is going to be our George Jetson world of the future. And I hate to tell you, but it will never be just between you or your doctor. You know, these medical, electronic medical health records are going to be connected to everything. And though they're going to be able to strip out your personal information, as they say, so they are private, don't think that with those quote-unquote pesky HIPAA regulations that they won't give certain agencies the right to go peek if necessary, if you meet the criteria for what they're looking for, to prove you innocent because you are always considered guilty. It's just, you know, I mean, the data of the future is going to be what enslaves you. There's data about us now that you probably wouldn't even want to see because it would be too shocking. I mean, guys, they've been tracking, bagging, and tagging us for years. We just didn't know it back then. Well, some of us did. Some of us in technology. Some of us working on that tinfoil Hattie PhD way back then. Knew about it. But everyone else just told us we were paranoid. I mean, we learned all about that, I don't know, way, 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 way back in the 90s. We had known a lot about a lot of surveillance, but none of the people who were using computers at that time even had the technical skills to even understand what you were trying to explain to them. All they heard is that the alphabet agencies were spying on you, and the second you said that, they had been groomed to think that you were a lunatic. But see, it's happening everywhere now, and that data is being collected, and you are being profiled. They're doing CSI on you. And they can get a profile of your entire personality and probably a pretty good prediction tool to be able to tell what your move is going to be next. They look at your personality type. And I hate to tell you, but even though we think that we are so individualistic, most of us are very routine. Most of us are cookie cutter. And we all have the same sorts of disorders. That doesn't make us too special. So when they try to profile and CSI us, they're going to be able to put us into categories pretty easily. And then for each category, they come up with a set of ways to take that type of person down. Whether it be psychologically, whether it be physically. Do you know, they're going to have these personality profile types, and then they'll provide all the details about them to law enforcement, to your doctor, all the things you got to know. Guys, this is the stuff that's happening now. You know, we've been looking at this facial scanning, facial profiling that's allowing them to diagnose disease and tell personality type and tell, you know, what you had for breakfast, not by your ear shape, but by scanning your lips with these molecular scanners. There are not going to be any more secrets. I think that's what terrifies me, probably one of the scariest things Not that I hide secrets, but I don't want any of these people inside my brain. I pride myself on my brain's ability to think and work through things. I always wake up in the morning. My brain's always got all kinds of good things that it thought about while I was sleeping. It was working through problems and coming up with ideas. And it never complains. Only when I'm super, super tired that it makes me start to feel sick. But otherwise, my brain is pretty good to me. Yours should be good to you, too. Just make sure you take care of it. You feed it well with good brain chemicals to make it feel happy, like B complexes and omega-3s. And I don't know. It's early right now, but there's all kinds of good stuff that you could take for your brain. All right, let's get back to this so I can get into a swing. Anyway, the company says that its software will monitor you over time, ding, and let you know if anything strange appears to be going on, and then help your doctor come up with the best ways to treat you. Good old Dr. Watson. I mean, this is Dr. Smartphone on steroids already. So what is it like to experience this type of engagement in person? At first, it was a little overwhelming. The waiting room combines warm recessed lighting, wood details, designer chairs, soothing background music, and strategically placed glasses of water. How strange. In the center of the room is a glass case filled with a range of wearables. So yeah, look, we could sell you your $300 to $500 Apple Watch. There's also a larger than life gleaming white contraption that Aoun, which I think this is the person that owns this place, refers to as a body scanner. I stood on its platform and inserted two fingers into it side by side so it could compute things like my height, my weight, my temperature, my pulse, and my blood oxygen level. Looky, looky. This data is then sent on to Forward's software so his doctor could see it, and then to the smart app, too. In the exam room, Yakub, who was previously a doctor who worked at Facebook, ding, 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 I didn't know Facebook had doctors, but maybe he worked for, he was an on-site doctor for the Facebook campus. I don't really know. Ran me through a fictional patient's office visit by tapping different things like the exercise and diet and meditations on a giant touchscreen to pull up more information, like what blood pressure drugs I have tried. And then she placed a wireless stethoscope on my chest. And the rhythm of my heart pounding popped up on the screen in front of us. Kuhn says hundreds of people are currently using this new service. And most of these are people who can afford such preventative care. The company is giving free memberships to people who cannot afford the $149 a month fee. I mean, honestly, $149, it's like a cheap car payment. I think this is what it's going to come down to. I think when they start chucking insurance out the window, which it looks like they're going to, this Obamacare was such a fiasco, it's messed everything up for a lot of people. I mean, everybody's health insurance went up through the roof. I don't know about everybody, but, you know, people who used to get it at a decent price aren't getting it at a decent price anymore. I think this is going to be the way of the future. They're going to make it smart devices. Pay fee, get rid of the insurance companies, and make it the people. Forward's offering may be a tough sell, since you need to keep paying for regular health insurance on top of the membership fee. Ew. Well, yeah, I guess if you want any hospitalization. So in case you need any care or treatments that it does not offer, like surgery or trips to a specialist, but, you know, how long is that going to be before they integrate it all? And these may be the people who could benefit from such services to really impact health on the population level. We need to figure out how to engage people who are harder to reach and make it easier for them to get health care. So, I mean, I can see that. I can see how this could definitely be a draw to all of us. You know, I had a friend tell me that they would be all for this, that they think it would be great to be able to monitor themselves 24/7. Because when something was going wrong, they'd want to be able to know about it. I mean, if you're in tune with yourself, you already know when something is going wrong. The problem is having any actionable information to force yourself to go do something about it. There was another story here. Wearable sensors can tell when you're getting sick. Study shows wearable sensors that monitor your heart rate, your activity, your skin temperature, and other variables can reveal a lot about what is going on inside a person, including the onset of infection, inflammation, and even insulin resistance, according to a study at Stanford University School of Medicine. An important component of an ongoing study is to establish a range of normal or baseline values for which each person in the study has and when they are ill. We want to be able to study people at an individual level, says Michael Snyder, PhD and professor and chair of genetics. Ding, 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 ding. It's all about precision medicine, baby. They want your DNA. They want all your biostatistics. So then once they have that baseline, they can tell when you're moving outside of parameters. We've talked about this so many times. They're going to put you in a dashboard. And once they know what's normal for you, remember, it's all about being able to recognize patterns. Once they know where your baseline is, any type of moving outside of that norm is going to alert them to some sort of trouble. And could you imagine the day when every single one of us has some sort of managing dashboard that someone is monitoring? And it wouldn't just be for healthcare. It would be for behavior. Oh, look, Johnny's acting a little depressed this morning. Let's give him a little dopamine dose. Let's give Johnny a little liquid hug with a squirt of oxytocin. You know, and this is very possible. You know, we're going to go back to AI, which is where we spent time yesterday. Because I really think at some point, you know, I was joking when I said Watson, Dr. Watson for president, 8 years from now. But, you know, they very well could have something like Dr. Watson. Very, very, very interesting is the new 2017 Davos is going on right now, the World Economic Forum. You take a look at some of the topics, and of course, one of the biggies is AI. You can tell where the ship is being steered, and Ginni Mazzini Ramitti, whatever her name is, IBM CEO, has been at all of these events. Ginni Rossetti, I don't know. I'm going to tell you, Watson is going to be in our future. I don't know. Watson is scary. Watson is amazing, but Watson is scary. Watson is probably the smartest computer out there, maybe close to. There might be a couple more. It's in military labs, but and in China, because I saw Beidou is doubling down. That is Google's equivalent in China. Actually, the guy who was working on their AI came from Google. But Beidou, Beto is looking to double down on AI and even leave us further in the dust for 2017. So I'd be concerned about that. So anyway, back to this device being able to diagnose your illness. Snyder, and this is this PhD professor and chair of genetics at Stanford University School of Medicine, Snyder. Snyder is the senior author of a study that will be published January 12th, which must have been just a few days ago, in PLOS Biology. Postdoctoral scholar Z. Lee, PhD. I bet he likes, actually, Ziao Lee, PhD. Jessalyn Dunn, PhD, and software engineer Dennis Salines, shared lead authorship. You always got to love when you have software engineers working with geneticists and publishing papers. It's really got to kind of put a spin on this to help you realize that we are merging with the machine. Together, this team collected nearly 2 billion measurements from 60 people, including continuous data from each participant's wearable biosensors and periodic data from laboratory tests of their blood chemistry, gene expression, and other measures. Participants wore more than 200... Oh, sorry. I'm wearing these bifocals. I'm just going to tell you. I don't know. I have 2 pairs. And my pair that I wear all the time was really starting to hurt my nose yesterday, so I switched my other pair. But I really think that this pair's glass is in a different place or something, because these are really hard to read with. All right, participants wore between 1 and 8 commercially available activity monitors and other monitors that collected more than 250,000 measurements a day. The team collected data on weight, heart rate, oxygen in the blood, skin temperature, activity, including sleeping, steps, walking, biking, running, calories expended, acceleration, and even your exposure to gamma and X-rays. Now, that is a damn good idea. I would wear a wearable to the dentist and the doctor's office if it had a way for me to track my lifetime radiation exposure. You know, that is one thing that most of us probably don't realize. But with a child, you really should be cognizant of this, is that from the very beginning of your life until the end, every bit of radiation that your body has been exposed to is cumulative. That means that, you know, you get an X-ray at 5, and then you get an X-ray at 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 from your dentist. Then they want to put you into that panorama thingy because it's cool and your insurance will pay for it. And you get irradiated again. And then Johnny gets a cough. And the doctor wants to do a chest X-ray just to rule out pneumonia. And then you're eating your strawberries, your almonds, drinking your California milk. Things that are all potentially contaminated. Almonds. Almonds are from California. I stopped eating almonds back probably 5 years ago. Strawberries and soft cheeses. The French warned about that right after Fukushima. Don't eat strawberries. I don't know. I haven't eaten strawberries in years now, except for the ones I grow at my house. In the summertime. And soft cheeses, you know. Anything in the milk, because the cows are eating the grass and the grass is contaminated with fallout from Fukushima. It's going to be in there. But we have no way to be able, over our lifetime, to add up the cumulative amount of radiation that you've been exposed to. And the thing is, you know, I don't know, I always had this false impression, like we always were made to think that we would be killed immediately by radiation, and that is not true. It is slow, and it degrades your cells over time and causes mutations. And, you know, the thing is, why do we not, to this day, our doctors who want to help us so much, our doctors who are doing this for your benefit, but I'll tell you what, if you've ever called out a doctor or asked him a question about your exposure to radiation as they're taking X-rays, or what your dose would be as they want you to step into this machine, they don't know. You know, I used to have it out with my dentist every year because he always wanted to line me up for x-rays. And I'm like, look, dude, you know, at this age, I know when I have something wrong in my body. I'm very in tune to things. And there is not one thing in my mouth that feels like it is awry. You just took x-rays 6 months ago. You don't need to take x-rays again. And he gives me some line of bullshit about how, oh, well, they can't really treat me. You know, the thing is lawsuits. If they get sued and there was something that they missed because they didn't get an x-ray, then they are going to be part of a lawsuit and I'm going to want to sue them because they didn't find it. And I'm like, look, I'll even sign the waiver. I don't want x-rays every 6 months. I don't need x-rays every 6 months. And how are you going to prove to me that this one new x-ray isn't what pushed me over the edge to end up with some sort of catastrophic cancer? And he's like looking at me like I'm weird. I'm like, look, all these years, when I was a kid, my dad had really good health insurance here at Fernando Maker. You know, the unions always got really good insurance. But because we had that good insurance, our local dentist, I'm sure he was living high on the hog because all my friends' dads worked at the auto plant too. But you know, we'd go up there and this dentist, every single time we went, we got x-rays, and I'm talking in the 1970s, so those big monster cones that went bzzz, when they turned it on, that sucker was right up next to your face. So how many times did I get that as a kid? How many fMRIs? And I mean, those are magnetic. But still, I mean, we're talking cellular, potential cellular damage from utilizing these devices that you're exposed to, all in the name of keeping you safe for healthcare, but in the end can potentially damage your health. See what I'm saying? So I don't know. I got off on this radiation stint, but an x-ray and a gamma ray and maybe even a beta and alpha or whatever they are, radiation detector on a wearable. I'm telling you, if there was one thing that I would wear a wearable for, would be that. Take it from the girl who's had their radiation detector here since Fukushima happened. Okay, it's real, people. That radiation that is around us is real. It's in our environment everywhere. And when you go to the doctor's office, these things that seem so innocuous and normal, and your doctor's going to tell you it's okay to put little Susie into the panoramic x-ray every year. You know what? They're wrong. It's not okay. You want to know why it's not okay? Because nobody is tracking your cumulative exposure. And, you know, even those panoramic machines, I was looking, you know, there's these I don't know if they were gliomas or blastoglioma, these brain cancers or plaques or precancers that they were finding there was a high incidence of in children under 10 that were stuck into these machines. Even the mainstream media had done some exposés on them. Then I saw something about radiation safety, but protecting their patients on the American Dental Association website, and they had even addressed those panoramic machines. You guys remember the battle with my dentist? My kid's dentist, every single time we went in there, tried to stick my kid in that machine, and I refused. You know, they refused to treat her anymore. You want to know why? Because he can't treat her. Because he's afraid of lawsuits. Because she's not going to get that panoramic x-ray. I mean, are you kidding me? Especially even when the American Dental Association agrees with the assessments that anyone under 10 should not be getting into one of those machines. So cumulative radiation exposure is something that not one of your doctors anywhere, there is not one agency anywhere on the planet that'll be able to tell you what your cumulative exposure, and I'm not talking about environmental or stuff that's in our food, I'm talking just medical. medical, from your doctors, from diagnostics, how much radiation you've been exposed to. And then putting that on a chart and saying, well, look, Johnny's got, you know, 4 millirems or something. And at 10 millirems, we start to see anomalies in the petri dish for cells. So we want to try and keep that down. So you know what, Johnny, you're already at 4. So only in the case of something being extremely necessary, or maybe we'll use another technology next time, as opposed to some sort of radioactive diagnostic. I mean, doesn't that make sense? Don't you think that as these doctors are doling out all this newfangled technology that's supposed to be so good for us, that they would be tracking the potential output that might cause health problems themselves in the patients? They're not at all. Sorry, there was kind of a rant there. There's never a reason that I would envision myself wearing wearables up until this point, so I had to postulate that one a little bit. So radiation detector, to those of you out there who are making the rules, we're going to start pushing this stuff down all of our throats. If you can give me a radiation detector, I might actually wear one, at least for when I go to get procedures. So, you know, I could zap the wearable and get my reading updated. All right, anyway, this study demonstrated that given a baseline of ranges for each person, it is possible to monitor deviations from the normal, ding, 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 and associate these deviations with environmental conditions, illnesses, or other facts that affect your health. Distinctive patterns, ding, ding, from deviation of normal seem to correlate with particular health problems. Just like your voice can diagnose a mental disease, algorithms designed to pick up on these patterns of change could potentially contribute to the clinical diagnosis and research. This work is an example of Stanford Medicine's focus on precision health. So we have precision medicine, we have algorithms, potentially artificial intelligence is going to be monitoring all this stuff. Guys, see how this all fits together? This healthcare thing. And of course, everybody wants to be healthy. Everybody wants to have a long, healthy life. I'm not sure everyone wants to live forever. Not sure I would want to potentially live forever. But that is the end goal, is to at least give you longevity and a healthy life so you can enjoy your family, friends, and loved ones. But they are going to utilize this to get in our door, the last bastion of freedom, your body, your mind, your private moments, your steps, eventually your thoughts. And you will have nothing that is your own anymore. Somebody out there will be watching you. On a long flight to Norway for a family vacation last year, I think this is the doctor, Snyder, noticed changes in his heart rate and his blood oxygen levels. One of the 60 participants in this digital health study, oh, so this is one of the participants, he was wearing 7 biosensors. Ding! Look, there it is. Been warning you. Biosensors. Biosensors were going to be the next big thing everywhere. And now we're already testing them. We're spinning this out, and he had 7 on his body. From a previous trip, Snyder knew that his oxygen levels normally drop during airplane flights, and then his heart rate increased at the beginning of a flight, as occurred in other participants. And this is kind of cool. I don't know. I would kind of be neat to watch that about yourself. But just remember, it's all going into the database. And as they're correlating all this data, it's giving away all the secrets. So like they just said, it occurred in other participants as well. So that is considered as operating within parameters. See, it's going to be like, once it gets to the point where they have all the deviations from normal mapped out, not only on an individual level, but on a societal level, every single one of us We're going to have to learn to control ourselves, learn to control our thoughts, our actions. Not that we don't have to do that now, because we have societal rules and laws that keep us in those bounds. But we're going to have to be thinking at a level of biological function in the future, and eventually even thoughts, when like they can thought scan you as you walk into a store or an airport or whatever. And honestly, I mean, we've already been reading about them being able to suck out your thoughts and suck out dreams and stuff. Be able to detect emotion using Wi-Fi. I mean, that's not too much of a stretch there to be able to like read your mind or do a mind print, a brain print to tell what kind of connectivity you have. I don't know. What kind of brain shape? Maybe brain shapes help shape personality. Who the hell knows? But every single day, they're coming up with more and more crazy things that they are able to then profile us with some sort of biological way to determine a feature. How long is it going to be before the second you walk out and a facial scanner discovers that you might be having a bad day there today, Johnny, that, you know, they don't dispatch the robo med bees or something equipped with their tranquilizer darts to come get you on the street and then send a self-driving car that'll take you directly to your doctor? Do not pass go. We have detected that Johnny is having a malfunction. Anyway, so this guy got on a plane. He determined that his elevated heart rate, as the flight began, and his low oxygen levels were normal the last time he flew. But the values typically return to normal over the course of a long flight and after landing. But this time, his numbers did not return to baseline. Something was up, and Snyder was not completely surprised when he went on to develop a fever and other signs of illness. 2 weeks later, he had been helping his brother build a fence in rural Massachusetts, so his biggest concern was that he might have been bitten by a tick infected with Lyme disease. Oh, how weird. Ding! Another one we were talking about. Lyme disease is quite prevalent. It's quite debilitating. And it's quite strange. One of those disease vectors that is spread through entomology with insects. Something we've talked about that they experimented with for a long time at Plum Islands. I don't know. Lyme disease has always been suspicious to me. I had exposure to that when I was a kid in the 80s. My mom was bitten by a tick back in 1982 up in, wherever we were. She had all kinds of issues after that. Fibromyalgia and inability to be very functional for quite a number of years because of whatever happened to her. And they were just starting to learn about Lyme. They told her it was Lyme, but the test doesn't give positives a lot of the time. So very strange. But anyway, Lyme disease, we will save for another day. They are working on now a quote-unquote vaccine for that. But I would like to take a look at it, because Lyme disease is one of those sneaky, sneaky diseases that can hide in joints and things. Anyway, in Norway, Snyder persuaded a doctor to give him a prescription for doxycycline, an antibiotic known to combat Lyme disease, and subsequent tests confirmed that Snyder had indeed been infected with the Lyme microorganism. Snyder was impressed that the wearable biosensor picked up the infection before he even knew he was sick. He said, "Wearables helped me make the initial diagnosis." Subsequent data analysis confirmed his suspicions that the deviation from normal heart rate and oxygen levels on the flight to Norway were indeed quite abnormal. So, I don't know. Obviously, they're going to use this stuff now to push this out to every single one of us. I've been telling you, this new insurance of the 21st century is going to require us to be a part of this system. and you're either going to have the monitor or you're not. You're going to get the shot or you're not. But if you don't play along with the new rules, they will not be including you. We will not be able to offer you health care if you do not play by our rules. Like the dentist. The dentist who said he is not going to provide treatment if you don't get into the panoramic x-ray. Well, sorry, Charlie. If you're not going to get that flu shot, we don't want you here potentially contaminating everybody else. That's the way the game is going to be played. And they're going to push us into a corner and say, look, become a part of this new medical technocracy. Become a node on the internet of everything that we can monitor and decide whether or not you are operating within parameters, or you will not be provided any type of health care. It's a pretty frightening thought. And not that health care necessarily has always helped us. I don't know. I've had good and bad doctors. And a bad doctor is probably worse than no doctor at all. The bad doctor is just going to write you a prescription for something that he probably doesn't even understand what the full side effects are. Or, you know, he writes it off willy-nilly. But then when you look at some of the major side effects, they're pretty damn dangerous. And he gets his Hawaiian vacation points because he wrote the 10,000th prescription for that same medicine this year. You know, it does not give me confidence in the system. The fact that these doctors don't really ever focus on nutrition, don't really ever focus on what the root causes of the disease or potential breakdown of biological systems is, but rather tries to mask it. And I mean, I've heard that so many times over the years that, like, oh, drugs just mask things. Well, you know, back in those days, I really hadn't studied, dug a lot into health or natural cures or using nutrition to try to cure deficiencies before ever going to a doctor or utilizing drugs. But I have spent a lot of time digging into that now. And I have to tell you, with me as my guinea pig and a few friends and family, I can tell you it works. Nutrition is probably more than half the battle. You know, we have such a shitty diet as Americans, especially. I don't know how we ever got that way. I try really hard to cook something every day and to have, you know, all kinds of good stuff in there and lots of veggies. And, you know, I always look at nutritional value of the things I'm putting in. And, you know, if there's not enough dark green in there, I find more ways to get it in there. But, you know, if we could just eat well, I think we would find that there were a lot of our issues, including depression and other brain anomalies. They're going to be diagnosed as anomalies. Depression isn't abnormal. Everybody gets depressed, but depression can also be a symptom of being low on your B vitamins, let's say, or being low on some hormones, or being low on some other bodily chemicals, which can be stimulated by nutrition in food at times. All right, so anyway, don't worry about it. With a precision medicine health approach, every person could know his or her normal baseline for dozens of measures. An automatic data analysis could then spot patterns of outlier data points and flag the onset of ill health, providing an opportunity for intervention, prevention, and cure. So everything that we have been talking about, we just covered two stories now. One about this new healthcare establishment in San Francisco that is going to monitor patients and give them online access and get their baselines. And then, of course, some more examples. This one out of Stanford. This test with all these people that will allow them to wear their wearables and determine with their Internet of Things devices that they are getting ill by monitoring their dashboard data. All right, one more here. I don't know. I have multiple computers of stuff open, and I guess we got into healthcare devices today. Scientists can now sequence your DNA with a smartphone. I mentioned this story yesterday, but I've seen two or three stories on it now, and this is pretty huge because this has taken now the lab, and this is a highly technical lab. You know, just a few years ago, it was thousands, tens of thousands of dollars to get your DNA run through a sequencer, and now it's in a little smartphone app. We got some little add-on device. It was not so long ago that sequencing even tiny snippets of DNA was a costly, cumbersome process that required access to a state-of-the-art lab. But today, we are inching closer to putting a DNA sequencer in every single pocket. Now, think about that one. DNA is the building block of life. We have now gotten the sequencing of the building blocks of life down to a smartphone app in your pockets. It's insanity. And so here we have, we're talking about the law of exponential returns, and I have people still telling me, Jewel, it's not going to happen by 2020. Jewel, 2025 is just too soon. We are not there yet. I'm going to tell you that they're all wrong. They're wrong. Wrong, I say, wrong. This technology is moving so quickly right now that within just the next few years, we literally are going to see Star Trek medicine. Remember Bones with his little woo 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 woo? He could scan. Bones used to always make comments about the barbaric ways they used to do surgery in the 20th century, cutting people open. And now they just use sound waves and things to fix it. Well, you know, they're working on that. That's called the ElectRx program. You know, DARPA's had this whole thing, this subnets. Subnets, I think, is brain. But they're using frequencies and electrical zaps and things like that to be able to reset the body and experiments. It's going to be that way in the future. And this stuff is moving so quickly. And it will be normalized. And it will become part of our everyday life before we even know it. A team this week, and where is this? This is yesterday, the day before. A team this week out of Sweden and UCLA announced that they have now built a microscope that uses the camera in a smartphone to detect fluorescent products of DNA, DNA sequencing reactions in cells and tissues. And what that means is that a doctor could plug the mobile optimized microscope into a smartphone and perform targeted DNA sequencing and molecular analysis on things like tumors in places that lack well-equipped medical labs and hospitals. This new tool, in theory, would allow doctors to perform high-end cancer diagnostics just about anywhere. And yes, as they say, we know that this sounds a lot like Star Trek's tricorder. The researchers who published their work this past Tuesday in Nature Communications magazine said that imagine that their technology could be a boon to the growing field of what? Oh, telemedicine, ding, 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 like I told you, Dr. Smartphone. Doing medicine remotely and away from a hospital setting. DNA sequencing and other molecular diagnostics are the gold standard way when it comes to diagnosing cancer accurately and an important first step in eventually treating it. And remember, they want to get all of our DNA. Every single one of us, you've got to get in the database to be able to get your precision medicine. This is how they're working it. You see this? So now, Dr. Smartphone, be able to diagnose anything with a little, you know, here, spit in this cup, Johnny. We'll run some diagnostics on you, see what's going on. Molecular diagnostics. And remember, we were talking about molecular scanners. Well, now we got molecular diagnostics. At the point of care is currently, by and large, an unmet need in resource-limited settings. But efficient management of a wide range of diseased conditions is severely limited by lack of molecular information. So the researchers hypothesized that mobile phones with cameras, ding, ding, talked about that as well. Take a photograph of your rash, Johnny. Mobile phones with cameras that have already been shown to produce images matching the quality of high-end pathology microscopes might be the answer. They designed and 3D printed another disruptive technology, a lightweight optomechanical attachment to integrate into the existing camera of a Nokia Lumina 1020. The attachment contained, among other things, two tiny compact laser diodes for fluorescence imaging and a white light emitting diode for bright field transmission imaging. And using this attachment, they were able to perform targeted DNA sequencing in colon cancer cell lines and human tumor samples. And then, you should have known it, they used a machine learning algorithm to then process these images. So again, Dr. Watson, to then be used in the cancer diagnosis. And in theory, this allows a doctor to gain a whole lot of information about a tumor without much more than a glass slide plate and a cell phone. That has got to give you chills. And think about this. Watson is up in the cloud. How long is it going to be before we can get this diagnostic data? I mean, you're not even going to need having brains on your end. Get the diagnostic data, send it to Watson in the cloud, and have him do his diagnosis and spit it back. This new smartphone microscope also leaves room for improvement. Still requires a lab tech to operate it for one, but don't worry about it. Like I said, Dr. Watson in the cloud will make that really easy. Maybe we'll look at this Ginny Remedy tomorrow. IBM is really chomping at the bit, and they are in the middle of all of this. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. It is Thursday. Lots of great radio. Lonnie Clark is live up next. Have an awesome Thursday, and I will catch up with you tomorrow.